Hi, and welcome to Nonprofit Spotlight. I'm here with Caroline Isaacs from Just Communities Arizona, formerly part of the American Friends Service Committee. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for the invitation.
So did you want to talk a little bit about how Just Communities Arizona is a newly formed organization as of this year?
Absolutely. Yeah, this was a huge transformation for us and several years in the making. Fortunately, AFSC has a very long and storied history of basically incubating organizations that later branch off on their own. And so that's essentially what we've done, working on criminal justice issues in Arizona for 20 some years now. We wanted to take the opportunity to really become rooted as an Arizona organization so that we could have deeper relationships with our community here and across the state and, you know, kind of establish our own identity and way of doing things. But much of the work is continuing and a little bit growing in a new direction, which I'll talk about later.
Thanks for that little bit of background. What is your organization's mission?
Our mission is to create new models for safety outside the punishment system.
And how does your organization work toward that mission?
And even the mission itself, you know, may warrant a little bit of explanation. For example, we refer to it as the punishment system or the criminal punishment system instead of the justice system or the criminal justice system. We know now from decades of experience that that approach doesn't increase people's safety. It doesn't reduce crime. It doesn't help people with the root causes of whatever's going on in their lives. It doesn't assist survivors of crime in moving on or healing themselves or healing communities that are impacted, and we can do better. So the idea here is to really think about ways that we can solve those problems without criminalization at the center of that approach. So we've pioneered a lot of that work primarily in our Reframing Justice program, which is about amplifying and centering the voices of directly impacted people, people who themselves have suffered the criminal punishment system, people who've been to prison, people with convictions, their family members, their communities, people who are survivors of crime. Very often those two get dressed up as though they are polar opposites when in fact the vast majority of people who are in prison and jail have themselves been survivors of crime and violence in their lives. So making sure that those folks are the ones really driving the movement to end mass incarceration because they can truly understand what people need and they're not getting in the system that we have. So that's really the secret sauce in everything that we do at JCA is about fostering the leadership of directly impacted people in the outward work and our internal work in our organization. Beyond that, we do policy work. The criminal punishment system is created and maintained through laws and policies, and they can be changed. So we do a lot of legislative advocacy, educating people about what's going on at the state legislature, what bills might actually help us create new models for safety and justice, and those that are more of the same. And then really trying to move into how we can center communities in these discussions and ask folks, what is it that you need to be safe? So we want to see what else could we maybe be doing, but what else might we try that could actually work better? And how can we help communities advocate for that for themselves?
Thank you for kind of putting it into context. Specifically, you were talking about asking the communities. You mentioned a safety survey. Can you talk a little bit more about that as one of the programs that help you execute your mission?
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, keeping in the same theme, this is one thing that we keep making the same mistakes. So it tends to be people who are already in some position of power, whether they work for a state agency or a government entity. Those are generally the folks who are tasked with coming up with solutions. And if we want different solutions, we need to talk to different people. Again, those would be the folks that are most directly impacted by these systems. And every neighborhood is very different. There's a lot that is in common. When you talk to folks about what safety really is, it's about knowing who your neighbors are, having relationships with people, watching out for each other, knowing everybody's kids, getting together and humanizing one another. A lot of the punishment system really rests on otherizing, which leads to fear. So what that looks like in each neighborhood can be very very different. And we wanted to talk to everybody we possibly could. This started off as a qualitative research study in one neighborhood in Barrio Centro here in Tucson with a partnership with Flowers and Bullets, which is an amazing organization that we love and respect. If you want to see what this looks like in practice, they're doing it. And that's why we wanted to talk to that neighborhood. If you want to see what dealing with things like underfunded schools, neglected neighborhoods, over-policing, over-surveilling, what the potential different solutions could be to that, they're doing it. And it's people from that neighborhood who know their neighbors and talk to them and are like, what do you need? And then they figure out a way to do it. So we started off just like asking everybody in this one neighborhood, what does safety look like? When you look around, what is it that says and means safety to you? And they talk about things like parks where your kids can play and green spaces and trees and healthy food and not closing our elementary school so that kids and community have a place to gather. But again, every neighborhood, every person potentially has a different answer to that. So we want to ask them. So moving from that project, we're now working out a quantitative research study, which is really fun, which started off through a grant from Microsoft and the Urban Institute, saying like, can use data to help us do justice better. So we've actually created a survey that's online. Anyone can take it in the city of Tucson, and I really hope that everyone will. You can go online and take this. Takes, you know, 10, 20 minutes most. And we also are working with community members, folks who really are leaders in their own communities, to sort of be our co-researchers, to go talk to the people that they know. That's not just like whoever has bandwidth and Wi-Fi to take this thing online, but to really go into their neighborhoods and say, I want to make sure that your voice is represented in this. I want to make sure that your perspective is represented in this. What does safety look and feel and like and mean to you? And that's extended to all six wards in the city of Tucson. The mayor's office, we're very proud to say, is partnering with us on this project because they want to know, what is it that people want and need, and how can we start looking at these other ways?
Thank you. I'll put the link to the survey in the web post.
And the survey is available in English and Spanish. It's super important. We really, really want to hear from folks who are primary Spanish speakers to make sure, again, that we are hearing from everyone in our community about what they need.
And so another one of your programs is the marijuana expungement program. And we had Katie Rogers on last week talking about that. Can you talk about partnership and Just Communities Arizona and their involvement?
You bet. So we are one of seven Arizona nonprofits that are all part of a grant through the Arizona Department of Health to assist people in expunging, clearing marijuana cases from their records. So this all grew out of Prop 207, which legalized adult use of recreational marijuana in Arizona. And as part of that initiative, in addition to decriminalizing and legalizing personal use, fortunately, there's an additional understanding in that what is now legal and used to be illegal, we need to create an opportunity for folks to get those old cases, arrests, convictions taken off their record. There's no reason that they should continue to be discriminated against and punished for something that's no longer illegal. So there's actually a funding stream through the proposition, through the legalization, to have this grant. It's statewide. And the partners, as you've heard from Katie Rogers, SALA, that's Southern Arizona Legal Aid, and then us at JCA. And our job is to get people to the lawyers, to do outreach, to again, go reach into communities and say, did you know about this? Did you know what the benefits could potentially be? And here's a clinic near you coming up.
That's what it takes for these organizations to partner with one another, whether it be for advocacy or legal aid, based on what communities really need. And how can people find out more about JCA?
We have a website, Just Communities Arizona, and we're also on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our handle is at justcom with one M, A-Z, at JUSTCOMAZ.
Wonderful. And to hear a full episode of this program, go to the program page for Nonprofit Spotlight at kxci.org. And thank you so much for being here today, Caroline. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Support for the Nonprofit Spotlight is provided by the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community, connecting people with causes and transforming the vision for our community into meaningful charitable impact, inspiring donors now and forever. More information at cfsaz.org or 777-0800.